Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger. Billy Muzio is not with us today, but I am joined by Ryan Reynolds. Not that Ryan Reynolds, but the important Ryan Reynolds for what we're trying to do. I would guess that the other Ryan Reynolds does not know ball like this Ryan Reynolds. Ryan is the Associate Director of Fantasy and Betting at the 33rd team. This is the first of a few 33rd team player profiler crossover shows that we're going to do over the next month. I had the opportunity to sit down with Josh Larkey and Ryan on the 33rd team this week. It was awesome. I highly recommend you checking it out. We're going to load it on a player profiler YouTube a little later this week. But Ryan is the first guest we have on here, and I'm really excited about it because it's week 8. This is like win time. Before you know it, October is going to be over and we're going to be staring at the fantasy playoffs coming up. So like we got through by Mageddon, but now we got to really grind out these W's. This week is difficult. There's no edge to be gained by, you know, your opponent has somebody on a bye. This is every single team playing. Teams are what they are at this point, and it's time for us to grind out some wins. So welcome to the show, Ryan. How are you doing today?
Pleasure to be with you again in 2 days in a row, Theo. And you know, looking forward to talking some shop. And yeah, if I have one thing over the Deadpool actor, it is football knowledge, pal.
100%. He doesn't know ball, you know, right? You know, like the guy knows a little soccer at this point, but football wise, you know, I'm going to go ahead on that limb. Not a great fantasy player, but Ryan, you know, one thing that's really cool about you, you know, you've churned out like really, really high quality content for years now. I first learned of you when you were writing the waiver wire column at Establish the Run. A big hat tip to all waiver wire writers. I had John Daigle on recently. He does that for 4 for 4. I mentioned you on that show. That's like a labor of love. I do it every single week. So big hat tip for your quality work with that. But you also like you grind film. Like, and when I say grind film, like I'll watch when I need to. And I'll tell you how my Sundays go. A lot of content creators, I'll watch Red Zone. And then if there's games that I need to like review, I'll go and watch the condensed version. And maybe I'll watch like half of them by the time we get to like Thursday, maybe 3/4 on like a weird week. But again, I'm watching like that 25-minute, 30-minute version. You're a little different. You've been doing this for a while. You got a streak going back to 2014. Josh Larkey was talking about. Why don't you talk about that a little bit, Ryan?
Yeah, I've as Josh says, I've watched every snap of every NFL game since 2014, and I'm still around to tell about it. At least so far, so good. So how my week goes from that perspective, Theo, is on Sunday I go to a friend's house that has multi TVs. I can get 3 games in where I can pay attention to all of them enough at each slate. So take that off my plate. Then I wake up early Monday, watch the condensed version in preparation for mine and Josh's preview show at 4:00 on Monday. Monday's a pretty labor-intensive day, Theo. And then during the week, I go back and watch individual plays. Like, for instance, I told you yesterday, for Gardner Minshew, I went back and watched all of his passing attempts through True Media. So, you know, and then in the offseason, I actually watch film on every team. So that's my process throughout the year.
Yeah, so I'll also try to go back and watch some during the off season. I think that's like a really cool thing where, you know, nowadays I can just click on a button and I can watch a condensed game. If I really want to watch like a bunch of Dallas Cowboys in the offseason, I could potentially watch 8 games in a pretty short amount of time, like a half a day. But back in the day, like we're talking about like 2014 when you started doing this. How was your process like back then? How did this come about?
Well, I have to go back a little bit further than 2014 to talk about how this came about. My first big hit in sports speculation is how I frame it was through sports cards, Aaron Rodgers rookie cards. You know, while he was sitting behind Brett Favre, just kept buying him and buying him and buying him. That my first car, bought my first car with my own money through that venture. I made around 30 grand in there. I thought I was good before then, but at that moment I was like, you know what? I got something here. So I just gradually grinded, you know, entered fantasy more heavily, entered winter pools more heavily, started betting against the spread more consistently. And, you know, gradually, you know, now I have a 6-figure bankroll, but 2014 is when I started taking it very seriously. And, you know, told you yesterday, I would DVR games and fast forward them. I'd do 3 a night during the week. And, you know, it was a little, you know, a little tough on the personal life sometimes, Theo. You know, it's hard to explain to the lady friend, like, hey, I'm going to watch football 5 days in a row, and then I'm going to go out all Sunday and watch it. So, but it's much easier now, as you know.
Yeah, technology definitely helps us out with that. The grind is still the grind, but the grind's a little bit easier. I can't even imagine what people were doing 25 years ago.
Right.
But you know, the hat tip to all your hard work, and you know, you and Josh Larkey and a number of you got some sharp people over at 33rd Team. Ian Miller does a great job on the Dynasty side. Jordan Vanek does a great job on the DFS side, and I'm sure I'm missing a number of people off the top of my head. Shout out to Wheeler. We know Wheeler for a while, but you put a lot of work into it, as does Josh, on your rankings. Your rankings are free over at the 33rd Team. Check out Josh's rankings. I believe he dropped them already for this week, but you guys put a lot of process into, like we do at Player Profiler, into your ADP targets, into your rankings. Like, it's labor intensive, and you flag plant guys, but there's always surprises. Right now you have 7 weeks of sample size into the NFL season. Besides Puka Nacua, who's the biggest positive surprise when you look at how fantasy has played out?
That's a good question, Theo. There's a few of them that come to mind, but
give a few if you want.
I have to go with Zach Moss on the top of the list. Guy's second in the league in rushing yards right now. If you would have told me that at this point in the season, Theo, that he'd be second in the league in rushing yards, I probably would have never spoken to you again before the season. It's completely insane. He's looked fast. He's looked explosive. He's forced the Colts to play him and Jonathan Taylor in a split currently. Again, that's, you know, shocking, and they have to do it so far. 2 years ago, you know, Taylor was the offense runner-up in the Offensive Player of the Year race. And the only reason he didn't win is because Cooper Kupp had a historic wide receiver season. So my big question there to you, Theo, too, is where was this in Buffalo? Because if Zach Moss was this guy in Buffalo, he never would have left.
I'll tell you where it was in Buffalo, and we're going to talk about him a little later on the show, but Devin Singletary has a way of making NFL head coaches play him no matter who's around him. You know, we're going to talk about Devin Singletary in a Houston Texans perspective, but he held back Zach Moss and he held back James Cook. And I think if we lined up all 3 players on a field and just, you know, ran them through drills and evaluated them as athletes, we would probably pick Devin Singletary dead last. But there's something about what he does to a locker room. Like, we don't even know. We're not there, but he certainly earns his way onto a football field. You saw it, you know, before the bye, and we're going to talk about that Texans situation. Now, how about, you know, you and Josh, you go through and you pick your flag plant guys or guys you just really like at ADP. Who's kind of your biggest disappointment so far in the season?
I'm a high volume best ball player. You know, I draft 500 best ball teams, so this is driven by that mostly. I have to say Daniel Jones, you know.
Oh, don't get me started.
I mean, 2 touchdown passes so far, 6 interceptions. That's actually very surprising. Outside of the second half against Arizona, I think it was in week 2 or 3. I mean, the Giants offense has been non-functional. Part of that's because of the offensive line injuries. Daniel Jones' biggest problem has always been pressure management. I caught that in his game against Virginia when he was against Duke. I'm aware of that, but I was not expecting him to be basically unplayable through this tough schedule stretch. You know, now he's hurt. You know, that's not part of what I'm saying here, but maybe in the second half, things look a little brighter, but yeah, man, I mean, 1 score that counts in best ball to this point was not what I was expecting out of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, it's extremely disappointing, and he also cost you from, Like he was in that like middle tier, the high end QB2, low end QB1 tier, where you could have just picked a quarterback earlier and gone with Tua Tagovailoa.
Right.
Or you could have waited and ended up in like the kind of gross tier that's all hit. The Brock Purdy, Sam Howell, Jordan Love tier has all really, really hit. So Daniel Jones was a grenade on both sides. You rarely see a double grenade. So big hat tip to Daniel Jones for that. And I actually had a New York Giants stack team I drafted in high stakes that I was like really excited about. I got Saquon Barkley to fall to me, got him in the second. Darren Waller fell to a great point. This was tight end premium. And then I managed to grab Daniel Jones. And I was like, look at my Giants stack. It's so sneaky. And I you know, you could tear that team up, you know, throw it into a volcano. It's got no shot. So Daniel Jones was definitely a great answer there, Ryan. We're going to get into a number of these start sits, but why don't we start out with one that features Daniel Jones? Shout out to FF Blankenberg in the chat. Sam Howell, Gardner Minshew, Danny Dimes, or Desmond Ridder. This is interesting. Sam Howell goes up against Philadelphia. He had a great stat line against Philly earlier in the year. Do any of these names stand out for you, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I'm actually going to say this out loud, but I think I would actually go with Ridder against the Titans, especially without Kevin Byard this week. It would be between him or Howell for me, though.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to ride the hot hand. That game seems like it's going to have points scored. I also like the fact that Philly's coming off of the huge win against Miami. Potential for an emotional letdown.
Yeah.
Washington, like, was horrendous against New York. Now they have a chance to kind of bounce back a little bit. So I'm going to go with Sam Howell in that one. But we're going to get into a bunch more of your start sit questions. We're going to talk a lot about a number of situations after we hear a word from our sponsors.
Hey, we're all starting new fantasy leagues all the time. And more often than not, where do we start our fantasy leagues at Player Profiler? On Sleeper. Because it's the best. You can imagine my excitement when I saw Sleeper rolled out. Sleeper picks, baby. And game stacking is the path to positive returns with these pick 'em games. Find that sneaky shootout and set most of the players to go over their projection for that week. Or you find a game going to get dragged into the mud and take every member of the passing game for less than their projections that week. And if you pick up to 8, that's how you 100x your payout on Sleeper. It's called the Hail Mary. So if you use promo code Underworld, you get a $100 instant deposit match. Check out Sleeper's terms and conditions for details. These Sleeper picks are live in over 25 states. Yeah, buddy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger, joined by Ryan Reynolds of the 33rd team. Let's just dive right into it. Last season, we had CeeDee Lamb absolutely smash. CeeDee Lamb starts off the year a little bit slowly and then goes on an absolute tear, finishes the season as wide receiver 5 overall. This season, he's wide receiver 24. Dallas, of course, was on a bye week this past week, but there's been a lot of like very disappointing trends with CeeDee Lamb's usage. The air yards are down. The overall targets are down. Do you see a bounce back similar to last season's production, or do we all need to like adjust our ideas about how CeeDee Lamb is in our fantasy lineups?
I think it's I think it's going to be between the last 2 years. You know, I think he had 1,100 yards off the top of my head in 2021, and last year was 1,350. Touchdowns have been a problem this year. He only has one, so I think he's probably going to be end up falling in the middle between the two there, primarily because the play calling is different. You know, it's not really a – I don't have any issues with CeeDee Lamb as a player, but from Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy, there's been negative production to this point pretty much across the board for Dallas on offense.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing. I think a lot of blame is on like losing the Kellen Moore side, but it's tilting because people took CeeDee Lamb very early on in their drafts, and now he's kind of fallen into like this purgatory tier that's not like really driving your fantasy team to what you expected. I do think he's still got a lot of trade value insulation. Right now, if you're in a trading league, would you send CeeDee Lamb for Puka Nacua?
No.
Okay. Would you send CeeDee Lamb for DJ Moore?
No.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, 100%.
If I'm getting Amon-Ra St. Brown, yeah, 110% for you.
Yeah, so there you go. So you still have, like, I feel like Nacua is like a litmus test for him because he's red hot and you're still on the CeeDee Lamb side. So you're bullish on him throughout the second half of the season. By definition with that one a little bit, I think you kind of answered that one. And I do think that we'll see a little bit of a, like, Los Angeles this week, this could be a potential high scoring game. And I think you could see like a little bit of a squeaky wheel gets the grease. How about Tony Pollard? Pollard has not been bad. He's just been disappointing. He's right now, he's running back 17 on the season. Excuse me. I believe he's actually running back 13. I misspoke. But he's running back 13 on the season. He's had a couple of decent games, a couple of games where he's been somewhat invisible. What are your thoughts on Pollard? Looks maybe a little less explosive to me this season than last. Are you seeing that when you're watching film?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great, great run last year. I think it was 4 or 5 games we just put up monster production. But he's one of those guys. Saquon Barkley's another one of these guys, too. They're great athletes, fluid, fast players. But when they get a little nicked up, they come back to the field a little bit in that regard. And so far, yeah, I do think so. Hopefully he'll bounce back after the bye this week. I expect that he will. But, I mean, I do think for him, both with him and Lamb, I think they're going to go up from where they are, just not hit the heights that we were expecting entering the year.
Take another one from the chat. David Montgomery or Josh Jacobs rest of season? Montgomery, of course, dealing with an injury here. Jacobs has had 2 decent games recently, but overall, the rest, like, Josh Jacobs has a very weird split. I believe he's got 2 top 6 finishes, and then after that, like, he's wide running back 23 and below for his other weekly finishes. Your thoughts on Montgomery versus Jacobs?
I think I'd actually leave Montgomery just because I like the environment better. Lions have a premium offensive line. The Raiders, I think, could be a bit of a sinking ship going from here. Tough schedule coming up. So I think I actually lean Montgomery over Jacobs.
So we alluded to in the when we were first talking about Devin Singletary. You know, you had discussed Zach Moss, and Devin Singletary, I think, was what was holding him back. We saw like a huge usage change in Houston's game in week 6. Of course, Houston was on a bye week last week, so a lot of things can change. But we had Devin Singletary getting more work than Damian Pierce. He had the only running back targets in the game, and he actually was like 1 less carry than Damian Pierce. So he's getting the higher value touches and somewhat of a split in the rushing work. Damian Pierce has been very disappointing this year in his production. Devin Singletary has been a lot more productive. Now they have a bye week. Do you see a changing of the guard in the Houston Texans backfield? And do you want any of these guys in your lineup this week?
I think Damian Pierce is in a good spot this week because the Panthers' run defense has been terrible. But let me answer this question from this direction, Theo. I think we're going to look at a pre-CMC Kyle Shanahan backfield deployment here. D'Amico Ryans comes from San Francisco. We also saw it in Miami last year with Wilson and Mostert. They were kind of a ride the hot hand group. Both guys see notable volume in each game. But, you know, if like last week, Singletary had the hot hand, they gave him a bit of a usage spike. I do think a reason for Pierce's production slide is the Texans' offensive line injuries early in the season. So I think that could improve, but I think Singletary's passing game work's going to stick a little bit. But in terms of like who gets the volume in the running game, I think that's going to depend on, you know, who's playing well that game, where Pierce probably still gets more than Singletary on average more times than not.
I would just say that you make a great point. Carolina has just been absolutely shredded by running backs this year. It's like an absurd number of top 24 weeks that they've given up. I believe they lead the NFL in RB2 finishes or better conceded, like more than seven. They've had multiple weeks where two guys have gotten into the top 24 against them. So you want to kind of cram people in their lineup. I would just say, like, Damian Pierce, this coaching staff has no deference towards him. They brought in Devin Singletary. So I don't know. I'm been kind of aggressively trying to get Singletary when he was available on the waiver wire. Added him a couple more places, you know, last night where he slipped through the cracks because of bye week. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think Damian Pierce, if you take away like any sort of receiving work, his ceiling is so capped. So it gets really, really kind of disappointing. How about the wide receivers in Houston? Tank Dell returns this week. And Nico Collins has just been terrific. How do you see this playing out? They've been very pass happy. Josh Larkey, and you and me as well. We discussed how, you know, bullish we are on CJ Stroud and how the passing game has been working in Houston. Are these guys you're looking to get into your lineups?
Yeah, I think Nico Collins is a guy you start every week at this point until he hurts you. I think that's where we're at. Like we said yesterday, well, like we talked about yesterday, CJ Stroud's been a historically efficient rookie quarterback through this point of the year. This doesn't happen very long. I was expecting this towards the end of the year. So to doubt it at this point would be, you know, this is probably where we're at with Stroud. With Tank Dell, I think he's a spike week player. If he runs an out and up and catches a 50-yard touchdown, he's going to be a valuable player. You know, I mean, I don't want to compare him to Jameson Williams in that regard, because Jameson Williams has been extremely frustrating whenever he's on the field. But I do think Tank Dell's fantasy production is going to be more volatile week to week than Nico Collins by a considerable margin.
Here's a fun start sit in the chat from Bray Tej. Start one PPR, Ramondre Stevenson, Rashad White, Nico Collins, or Garrett Wilson. Pretty difficult one.
It's tough. I actually think I'd lean Nico Collins this week, and I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I think you go with one of the wide receivers.
Yeah.
I think Nico and Garrett Wilson are both like low end wide receiver twos this week. I'm gonna go Garrett Wilson. You gotta play Garrett Wilson in the Battle of New York. My man Garrett Wilson was at the Knicks game the other night, and the Knicks crowd went nuts for Garrett Wilson. Yeah, so I think he's going to give the people what they want. and we're going to go with the hometown spike week game. That'll be a fun game for the Jets and Giants. Definitely a very, very tilting one. Let's keep this going. We'll stay at the running back position. We've seen unbelievable production from Travis Etienne. He has 6 touchdowns over his last 3 games. Jacksonville's won all 3 of them. They sweep London. And then they win again in a difficult game against the New Orleans Saints, which has been a tough defense, and Jacksonville really had their number. Your thoughts on ETN moving forward? Is this a sort of, obviously we can't depend on 2 touchdowns a game, right, but is he like a top 5 running back for you rest of the season?
I think he's at least close to that. I know Josh was higher than consensus on him entering the season, and that's aged pretty well to this point. But one thing that I'll point out from watching film this year is Calvin Ridley caught like a 15-yard pass earlier in the year, and Travis Etienne came out of nowhere to get ahead of him to block, where it's just like, oh my God, like this is wow speed. And we've seen it this year, explosive player. What's, you know, like you said, I don't think the touchdowns are going to stick, especially to a game that's ridiculous. But what I find encouraging is that his passing game role has increased by about 50% so far this season. So, yeah, I think he's at least a fringe top 5 back going forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 60 reception potential based on the early usage, which is just wild. And I think when we go and look back at his career, we're going to say, why on earth did they not use him as a receiver his first year? And I get it. It's kind of like a de facto rookie year. Maybe they didn't trust him in the passing game, but he was so dynamic at Clemson he has the connection to Trevor Lawrence, and they didn't even use that part of his game. So a little self-scouting by Doug Peterson this offseason. It's kind of like the dream usage for ETN. So I'm there. I'm ETN's a top five running back rest of season in redraft. And I think he's a top five running back in dynasty potentially as well. So it's a very, very exciting times. Let's stay with the New York Jets. We just talked about Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall has been exceptional 2 weeks in a row. Now they have the big week against the Giants. Jets coming off the bye week. We saw Breece Hall utilization as a receiver go way up the most recent game. He was kind of like, you know, bogged down on the ground, but he catches five passes, was second on the Jets in targets. Everything's kind of like pointing up for Breece Hall. Can we trust him to just smash here? Like, what's your expectation? Back-to-back 20-point PPR weeks.
You know, I love him as a player. I think he would have ran away with the offensive rookie of the year last year if he didn't get hurt. You know, Dalvin Cook is no longer Dalvin Cook too. So as long as it's not injury related for Hall, I think we can expect a growing, increasing role as we progress here. You know, next 3 weeks, Giants, Chargers, Vegas, all pretty good matchups for a running back. Jets offensive line's a little concerning, but you know, so is having Zach Wilson as your quarterback actually too. But I like him and I'm trying to acquire him whenever I can get him cheap.
Okay, we're going to help out Aaron Waldo, friend of the show, in the chat. Aaron has made the wrong decision every single week on this one. You got to love starts. Like, the problem with start sits, Ryan, when you have like these deep, deep rosters, is you got to pull your hair out every single week on these. And Aaron's got some good choices here.
Sure does.
He's got to pick four, okay? He's got to pick four of these ones. A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore, Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk, Adam Thielen, and Puka Nacua. Good God, Aaron, this is a loaded wide receiver room, but you've got to bench three of them right now. So right now, let's pick our favorite one here. AJ Brown automatic.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going here. Puka Nacua automatic at this point.
Yeah.
How can we not start Brandon Ayuk when Debo Samuel is out though?
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed. So I'm at three right now. Yeah. Are we going to bench DJ Moore this week?
Yeah, it's brutal. If Justin Fields was the quarterback this week, I would not bench DJ Moore. Since it's going to be Tyson Badgett, I think I'm still going to lean Moore. But I actually agree with you. I do think Garrett Wilson's going to have a good game this week. So the decision's between those two.
But I think Thielen, how can we bench Thielen, Ryan?
I know, it's tough. It's tough. I hear you. I think that's the worst matchup of the group, him versus the Texans defense. So. Yeah, again, I don't have great conviction with it, but I think Moore probably has the highest ceiling, especially since the Bears probably play from behind against the Chargers.
So you hear that, Aaron, but Aaron, this is like what we call a champagne problem, and I think you're actually flexing your roster. Yeah. You're not in a bind. You're not in a bind. Yeah. And he wants to, Aaron, congratulations on all your money. It's an FFPC team too. Shout out to Harry Snowman in the chat. Shout out to Kim Smith in the chat. Kim is agreeing with all of your calls, Ryan. So you got to love that. Let's keep this going. Breece Hall, we just discussed, and that's a backfield which is extremely clear. Just start your Breece Hall. But one backfield that's, I don't want to say it's up in the air, because I think Darrell Henderson's earned the role, but this Rams backfield without Kyren Williams is interesting. Last week we saw Darrell Henderson just play about 60% of the snaps. He had 17 rushing attempts, and he falls in the end zone. He sees a little bit of work out of the backfield as a receiver, not much. You also have Royce Freeman, who looked pretty explosive on a couple of runs. And I don't mean to say it's Royce Freeman, but it's Royce Freeman. So where are you at with this Rams backfield this week? And one distinction here, Ryan, maybe you could share this, because I talked about Darrell Henderson on my waiver wire show, and there's a couple of people shot back and was like, didn't you see he was demoted? They put him back on the practice squad. Maybe you could kind of define the rule, because that shouldn't matter at all. Like, NFL teams have three times to keep putting a guy in a practice squad and pulling him up. So that's just a contractual thing, correct?
I would think so, yeah. It's a little weird. I don't remember a lot of instances where a running back basically gets a borderline bell cow role and then goes to the practice squad, but
yeah,
I do think it's a contractual issue. Just in general, a big part of football is doing your job, So Henderson's the leader in that area, this backfield, especially against a team like Dallas that is a premium pass rush. He can block. I know no one really wants to hear that. That's not a very sexy thing to lean on here, but you know, especially when you have a veteran pocket passer like Matthew Stafford that's had injury problems, you don't want to put a rookie back there that you can't count on. They can count on Henderson the most. And like you said, with Freeman, I've always been a Royce Freeman guy, but you know, we're in what, like year six now for Royce Freeman, maybe even more than that. Had a lot of miles on him in college. So he's also probably the second most reliable runner in this group. And then if you're in a super deep league and you're looking long-term, maybe Myles Gaskin for free. And I'm talking super deep, but I think it's Henderson this week because of the matchup, especially.
Yeah. I'm interested to see, you know, you mentioned the pass blocking, but Dallas seems like a game where you could see Henderson being utilized a little bit more as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Maybe he catches three passes. I think he's going to be an RB2 again this week, just based on potential for the Rams having to keep up. And he's definitely the most polished guy in the backfield. Royce Freeman, you know, that was a guy that a lot of us liked. And then he got Philip Lindsay his rookie season. That was a tough one. Let's take a question in the chat. This is from Nicolo Sorrentino. Roschon Johnson, Amari DiMercato, Jackson Smith and Jigba, or Jaden Reed? And I'm guessing the Jaden Reed one is predicated on Christian Watson being limited or missing. So let's say Christian Watson misses. Which way would you go with these four guys? DiMercato, weird usage where last week it was actually really, really good. The week before, less than four PPR points. Roschon Johnson had 2 weeks out with concussion, but he's back this week. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's trending up, found the end zone last week, or Jaden Reed without Christian Watson. Which way are you going on this one, Ryan?
Yeah, I think with me, actually, based on the matchup too, if Whit Watson's out, I think I'd actually lean Reed. I don't want any part of DiMercato against the Ravens, really. Roschon Johnson, again, I want to see it first, especially since Dont'a Foreman's been playing well. I want to see it first before I stick him in there. It's thin, and again, if JSN, say if Metcalf misses, JSN rises to the top of this list, but I think I lean Jaden Reed. Don't have a ton of conviction on it, though.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think I might go JSN. I think JSN's just trending up a little bit. I think he could find the end zone. I don't know how the target dispersal will go in Green Bay if Christian Watson misses. There's also a chance that offense just takes a big hit. You know, Luke Musgrave's banged up. Aaron Jones is not back to normal. You saw more AJ Dillon last week. So I think that offense is trending down. I think I'm going JSN on that. You know, anybody who watches the show knows I have a bet with Billy Muzio from before the season, $350, Ryan, on JSN finishing as a wide receiver, 36 or better. So I need like him to smash every single week, or I'm probably already dead in the water, but I have a couple of outs here. So we're looking for JSN to score literally every single week. Shout out to Billy Muzio. We talked about the Rams backfield. Let's stick with this Chicago backfield because Dont'a Foreman was just sensational last week. He has two rushing touchdowns, also has a receiving touchdown. He has a 30-plus point PPR week. He actually had a 30-point PPR week last year as well. He's sort of one of these guys where if somewhere in the multiverse, Dont'a Foreman had like a career where he made 10 Pro Bowls, like 8 Pro Bowls, like he was like that sort of talent, gets the ACL injury as a very young player, and now he's back. Yeah. Every time he gets an opportunity, he puts up fantasy points. And then you have Roschon Johnson, who fourth round pick, we're very high on him at Player Profiler. He's more of a kind of a well-rounded two-way back with receiving ability and size. Now you kind of have these guys. You have the Tyson Bagent factor. Where are we at here? Are you putting Dont'a Foreman back in your lineup? Are you potentially using a Roschon Johnson? Are you worried about an ugly split? The matchup's great, though. It's the Los Angeles Chargers. Even with Bagent, you got to expect that Chicago moves the ball well.
One of the things that's crazy about Foreman is I think he had 5 targets last week, and he had 9 last season, and the whole season. He had 900 yards rushing, but he had 9 targets. So I think Roschon Johnson likely cuts into that. I'm scared of the ugly backfield split. But, you know, Evans is split with Foreman to a degree. He had a pretty sizable workload. But, you know, in general, Theo, Foreman's kind of the perfect Chicago Bears running back, big physical grinder back, especially against a team like the Chargers. So for this week, Foreman for me, long term, I'd rather stick with Roschon though.
you're a Bears guy, Ryan?
No, I appreciate, I'm a defense guy, Theo. I'm a Giants fan, actually. It's been a tough decade for us, but I do appreciate Chicago's style of football, defensive-minded.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to ride the hot hand. I'm going to put Foreman back in a couple of flexes and a couple spots. I might have to use him as an RB2. I just think at some point, it's Tyson Bagent. You've got to protect him. Ride the hot hand. I think that Foreman getting 15 touches is something that I could see. Even if Roshan comes back and gets work, I think Foreman could fall into the end zone again as well. And he just looked very good last week. They want to protect this young quarterback. Hey, you know, Tyson Bagent, he won last week his first start. So let's see if they can't get Brandon Staley out of there with a loss to Tyson Bagent. That would be an interesting way for him to go. Let's take it right back to the chat real quick. I saw one or two other good ones. Let me pull up this one. Christian Watson or Diontae Johnson in half point PPR. This is assuming Christian Watson plays, or Diontae Johnson, who finished tied with George Pickens in targets this past week, his first week back. Was out targeted, had the same amount of catches, but like he looked all right. He looked healthy. And then Christian Watson again, who's, you know, banged up, another knee problem. For me, I'm going to go Diontae Johnson in this one. That Jacksonville secondary has been getting shredded all season long. I think that they're like bottom three in yards conceded, gave up 300 passing yards to Derek Carr last week. Where are you at on this one if Christian Watson plays?
Same thing. I agree across the board with Diontae Johnson. Plus, I think you have a little bit more injury safety with him right now, where, you know, I don't think you can automatically cross off Watson because that's kind of a sneaky, interesting matchup itself. But I would play Johnson with my own team, even if there Watson plays.
Let's stick around with Pittsburgh here. I'm a huge George Pickens guy. George Pickens was a guy in the offseason that Billy and I were on. We were not one of the, you know, he can't separate guys. I've been on Pickens in Dynasty for a while, and in redraft this year, I was able to get him at an affordable price a lot of spots. He's looked great. 22 years old. He's now had multiple 100-yard-plus games, three of them on the season. Last year, he only had one game where he went over 100 yards receiving. He looks very much an alpha. He won the game for them, essentially won the game for them against the Ravens, their rival. Was fantastic, scored the game-winning touchdown, and just looked every bit the part. Now you have Diontae Johnson back in the mix. How are we treating George Pickens? And we already touched on Diontae, but are you on George Pickens continuing his strong play? Do we start seeing him level off a little bit with a kind of a 50-50, you know, split in terms of which wide receiver pops, which doesn't? And they're both somewhat limited by the passing volume and Kenny Pickett. Your thoughts on George Pickens, you know, through seven games of the season?
Yeah, I like him as a player too. Like you just mentioned, the volatility of the offense is my biggest concern with everyone related to the Steelers. I think my answer is closer to leveling off because Pickens is built up. Pickens' 100-yard games are built off big plays, chunk plays, and that's kind of his game, you know. So I think he's going to have some big spike weeks. I think he's going to have some weeks where he has four catches for 20 yards. I think that's kind of what's going to happen there, in part because of the volatility in Kenny Pickett's offense.
We have a little bit of a pushback here on our Brandon Ayuk recommendation. Shout out to Isaac in the chat. He would not start Brandon Ayuk with Sam Darnold behind center. I don't think the offense is going to look that different with Sam Darnold behind center. I don't think he's going to be terrible for a one-week sample size. And Sam Darnold is able to push the ball downfield. That's never been like the worst part of his game. Where are you at on how you expect Sam Darnold to look? Is he a guy that's like a must-start in super flex for you this week against Cincinnati? Or are you a little nervous about how Darnold's going to look?
No, I think he'd probably be a must-start in the overwhelming majority of situations in Superflex. You know, I think they're going to roll him out early, try to get him some manufactured completions. You know, and in that particular discussion we had, I think one of the options was Garrett Wilson. I'm more confident with Sam Darnold, with Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco, than I am with Zach Wilson can do to Garrett Wilson. So I actually think there's a little more stability in San Francisco, especially against the Bengals, who don't have a really disruptive pass rush.
Yeah, I think he's going to look fine. I think that this is like a, you know, betting against a 1 week fill in for Shanahan, potentially a 2 week fill in with the concussion like symptoms. I'm fine with Darnold. Like, there's worse quarterbacks out there than Sam Darnold that we've seen this season. I think a number of these teams wouldn't mind having a little bit of Sam Darnold. Shout out to Permar in the chat. He's concerned about Rashad White's quality of play this year. It hasn't been great. White did have a few receptions last week, which was nice to see, but he's a guy that's been sort of disappointing. We had Jared Smola right here on First Class Fantasy last week, and we were, Billy and I, along with Jared, our two sites were bullish on Rashad White this past offseason. It's been very disappointing. The usage is there. It's just the quality of play. How concerned are you about Rashad White? And do you see Chase Edmonds getting an opportunity now that he's back from the injured reserve?
This is a great topic for me, Theo, because as a film guy that also pays attention to data, I do believe in data. I never really liked Rashad White as a player. Don't really think he's a difference maker, but you know, we all expected his volume to be big, and it has been. You know, so the reality of the situation in Tampa is their offensive line has a bunch of liabilities. Baker Mayfield's not a guy who can carry an offense, NFL offense every week. So I don't want to put it all on Rashid White's, you know, floor, so to speak, but I don't think he's a difference maker. That said, do I think Chase Edmonds is going to come in and take a big part of the workload? Maybe he supplements him a little bit, but I don't, you know, and they are competitive. So maybe they dip their toe in the trade market a little bit, but I still think Rashad White's looking at a pretty big workload going forward.
Yeah. You know, the Chase Edmonds thing was a little bit funny where I kind of discounted him completely. Jim Coventry is pounding the table for him over at RotoWire. I think Jim's very, very smart. And it's kind of like, when you think about it, it's, if you take away the receiving work for from Rashad White, or you at least half it, that's really going to crush him. And that makes him like a low end RB3. So I'm a little nervous about Chase Edmonds' return. I think that if you see Chase Edmonds, you know, catch three balls this week, then you got to really, really kind of pivot off of Rashad White. If Chase Edmonds doesn't see the work in the receiving game, but maybe they give him like two or three carries, that's an ideal outcome. So that's really what I'm looking at. We have a couple of start sits that feature Rashad White. Here's one. This is in PPR. Rashad White, Deonta Foreman, or Deontay Johnson this week. I'm going to go Deontay Johnson against Jacksonville. Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh. It just kind of screams like a game where Deontay could have a decent game. Whereas Foreman, I'm worried about the split. Rashad White, I'm worried about the quality of play. Where are you at, Ryan?
I'd play Foreman and Johnson. Like you said, I do think there's some chance that Chase Edmonds steals a few targets, which, like you said, basically torpedoes Rashad White's workload on the short week. I'm gonna stick with Foreman and Johnson.
Shout out to Permar in the chat saying to go ahead and pick up Chris Rodriguez now. I had Chris Rodriguez in my waiver wire column. I'm all about that Chris Rodriguez life for $1 bids. I got him a couple spots. Let's talk about that. Last week, your New York Giants beat the Washington Commanders. And what was interesting was, for the second week in a row, we see Chris Rodriguez in the mix at running back. This has been a backfield where we have assumed somewhat of a split. Brian Robinson's been the better player most of the season, with Antonio Gibson having his moments. Now you inject the seventh round rookie out of the University of Kentucky, Chris Rodriguez. This was an Eric Bieniemy guy. You know, people who watch First Class Fantasy and press coverage, you know, Chris Rodriguez was a guy that was like, a couple of analysts really loved him this summer. Scott Barrett of Fantasy Points, you know, he talked about Rodriguez as one of his sleepers this year. Now we're starting to see it. Does this scare you with Brian Robinson? Does this just become a three-man split? Rodriguez, he couldn't get targets in this backfield, could he, Ryan? Like, where are we at on Chris Rodriguez and the Washington Commanders backfield?
Yeah, I think both scenarios scare me. Like, I do think a three-way split is very on the table. A couple of years ago, same kind of situation. And then the other thing is, Brian Robinson hasn't been as good this year as he was last year. So there's room for someone to surge and take his job a little bit, or at least eat into it more consistently. So I am concerned. I am interested in getting Rodriguez for cheap if you can. But even still, like, he's probably going to need an injury to be a guy that you can play every week.
I made a dynasty trade this past week. I traded Brian Robinson and a second rounder to go get Alvin Kamara in an FFPC league. I really like that trade. I do worry about Robinson. I just think he's kind of a somewhat of a jag, and this was a Rich Rodriguez guy, a Ron Rivera guy, and Ron Rivera like has always like deferred to Robinson. Robinson, has the off the field incident. Rivera like goes and visits him in the hospital, comes back on the field, gets him back on the field playing, and then this year it's been nothing but. So when you start like having another coach's favorite in Rodriguez, it's tough. So I don't know what to make of this Washington backfield. It's definitely one I want to try to avoid. I like Terry McLaurin, and that's pretty much it. I'm going to use Sam Howell in a couple spots this weekend, but I worry about, being able to trust any of those guys moving forward. Let's talk about the Cleveland backfield, because right now we have Jerome Ford, who's been playing quite well. Jerome Ford is going to miss. They're saying it's a week or two, but when you talk about high ankles, I don't really trust them. They say it's like a not a serious high ankle sprain. Give me a break. I don't know what to make of that. But we saw Kareem Hunt get slightly more usage, and then we see Pierre Strong, who's been a guy that Billy Muzio and I have liked for a while, starting to get into the mix. You also have the factor of Deshaun Watson missing another game. So there's going to be, I think, more running back touches than usual this weekend. Your thoughts on Hunt and Pierre Strong? Are you using one of them? Could this be a split? What do you anticipate?
When Hunt returned a couple weeks ago, he actually looked better than I thought. I assumed he was washed, to be honest, and he looked better than I thought. Again, reliable veteran. When you have a guy like PJ Walker under center, or even Deshaun Watson at this point, volatility, you want to cut that down as much as possible. So I do think he's going to see a consistent role. That said, just like you guys, I like Pierre Strong too. A little overweight on him in best ball when he was in New England. Obviously, that hasn't turned out too well to this point, but explosive player. Definitely a good change of pace back paired with Kareem Hunt. And the thing with the Browns is the strength of their offense is their offensive line. So them leaning on their run as often as they can, that could be a hot hand situation too. But I do think Hunt is in the driver's seat to see more consistent usage.
Yeah, Hunt's a guy that I think if you have him, you have to start him.
Yeah,
there's a couple of X factors that I think play into it. 28-year-old Kareem Hunt, who's looked good on like a per-touch basis last week, can he handle an exceptional amount of volume? And that kind of opens the door for the split backfield. There's also a chance where they want to keep Kareem Hunt kind of exactly where he is in his role, and Pierre Strong gets the Jerome Ford work. So I think there's a lot to see there. With Pierre Strong, I think a week from now, we'll have a much better idea of where he's at. And if you have Kareem Hunt, I think he's an RB2 this week with a chance to score. So I'm into having Kareem Hunt. I have him a couple spots. I'm going to use him somewhat with confidence. Another guy that we see kind of, and let's stick with Cleveland. Are you playing Amari Cooper this week?
Probably not, because of the quarterback situation, unless I have to.
Okay, so there you go. So we would call him a somewhat on that wide receiver 3 line as opposed to a low-end wide receiver 2. I think that's fair. I just don't think the volume is going to be there for him. It's a tough one. Amari Cooper is a guy that's crushed people if they were taking him at ADP. Was a guy we largely avoided. One wide receiver, though, that's been just a fantastic ADP hit has been Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers is comfortably inside of the wide receiver 2 line, and he's flirting with, wide receiver 1 numbers. How do you see him rest of season? And how do we see Devontae Adams, who's had a little bit of disappointing production the last few weeks?
This is one of those things. Adam Levitan just said this recently. Like, our job is to not figure out what coaches should do. It's what they it's what they actually will do. I'm going to dip my toe into the thing that we shouldn't do here. Devontae Adams should probably be traded. If the Raiders are being honest about themselves, assessing their situation appropriately, trade him to a contender. And then that's like long-term for me. That's the intrigue with Jacoby Myers. That's actually why I drafted, why I'm a little overweight on in best ball too. And to this point, he's been a pleasant surprise from a productivity standpoint as well. That said, Theo, the quarterback situation in Vegas right now is, just to call it dicey is an understatement.
It's just pathetic. I'm longing for Jimmy Garoppolo to come back. And Michael Mayer was a guy that I was kind of bullish on.
Yeah.
They can't support you know, really two pass catchers, let alone three. So it's a tough one. We're going to take one defense. Let's take two questions here. Shout out to Justin Santiago in the chat. Rashee Rice or Joe Mixon?
That's brutal. It kind of has to be Mixon just based on usage, but the 49ers are one of the worst, you know, matchups for running backs. Love Rashee Rice long term. Think he could be a potential difference maker, but I'm going to lean Mixon just based on usage.
Begrudgingly, I'm going to agree with Ryan. I'm going to go with the volume on Mixon, but gosh, I like Rashee Rice a lot. I think he's a really fun player to have on your roster. Let's take one defense question. Cleveland Browns or Miami Dolphins? And it's funny because 2 weeks ago, we would have looked at the Cleveland Browns and said, this is it. I have the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to start them every single week. And then out of nowhere, Minshew Magic rips them up. And, you know, our guy Josh Downs rips them up as well. Shout out to anybody who's been following the waiver wire column. I hope you got Josh Downs cheap weeks ago when we told you to. But Cleveland or Miami? Miami faces off against New England, and then Cleveland is on the road in Seattle. Sneaky, sneaky start sit here. Which way are you going?
Yeah, it's actually a great question. I'm not going to panic on last based off last week with the Colts game because, you know, they shut down the 49ers. They shut down Joe Burrow's Bengals. That said, I think Seattle's going to win this game. So, you know, neutral negative gain script for the Browns defense. So I think I'm actually going to go with Miami.
Yeah, I don't know. I might go Cleveland. I think Cleveland's going to bounce back on the road in Seattle. But it's definitely a tilting one. Here's another one. Half point PPR, Alexander Mattison or Christian Kirk? Christian Kirk all day long right here for me, Bryson Grimes. Where are you at, Ryan?
I do four shows a week with Josh Larkey. He hates Alexander Mattison. So just out of loyalty to Josh and, you know, because I think it's the right play in general, I'm going to go Christian Kirk myself.
It's kind of like how I got Billy to start loving Dalton Kincaid throughout the summer. It's like Stockholm syndrome. When you podcast with somebody enough, their ideas start becoming your ideas in a sense. So shout out to Josh Larkey for getting you on the right track there. And Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk's just been so good this season. Another player who's been really, really good usage-wise is Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco is currently an RB1. This is a guy who, if you drafted him, hat tip to you. Congratulations. You got a potential RB1 in like the eighth round, seventh round of your draft. Pacheco, how do you see him rest of season? I think there's some upside there, Ryan. He really doesn't have the touchdowns yet, and you know those are probably coming based on the quality of the offense.
I'm a Jersey guy. Pacheco's a Rutgers guy. He runs with absolute reckless abandon. I love him as a player. Obviously love his spot in Kansas City. The Chiefs have a pretty attractive playoff schedule, too, for fantasy. So I love Pacheco. I'm targeting Pacheco in trades. I don't want to quite say I'm all in on him. I think that's a little aggressive, but I'm close to you.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to all in on Isaiah Pacheco, and I think he's got a little bit more insulation in Dynasty. In redraft, he's a smash trade in redraft. You have the number two offensive skill position player in one of the league's better offenses. You also have the fact that he's got like a nice floor based on the receiving usage, which is wild. You bring up Rutgers' Isaiah Pacheco, and he's always been like this violent runner who's explosive and very, very fast. But we didn't foresee this. And last year, I made a comment about how he had the big receiving game against Cincinnati in the AFC playoffs. And people are like, Theo, you moron. Patrick Mahomes was banged up in that game. You can't count the receiving work that Isaiah Pacheco received in an AFC playoff game. And I'm like, well, you kind of can. And now they're doing the same thing. He's getting targets every single game. So I'm really into Pacheco. I love kicking the tires on him to see if you can pick him up in a trade. I picked him up in a dynasty league the other day. I don't think the market's kind of where it's at in terms of production and just realizing he's a second year back. The only negative thing you can say on Pacheco is draft capital. And at the end of the day, Andy Reid seems to really, really like him. So I'm on him as well. What are your thoughts on Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray is a guy that we've been really, really high on here at First Class Fantasy. And we're a little bit surprised that he's back so quickly. If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said it was more likely that he doesn't play a game at all this season than for him to show up before week 10. But we are here. Now, well, let's clarify, a full participant at practice. He was only, he was not getting first team offense work. So he's working with some practice squad guys, throwing to those secondary pass catchers. So I don't anticipate seeing him this week, but it's coming soon. What impact will he have on the Arizona offense? Hollywood Brown, Michael Wilson, where are you at on this one?
Oh, multi-layered question here, Theo. First, Ian Miller and I are both in Dynasty. We're both Kyler Murray guys all summer. You know, I think we're above consensus on him too. I think for this season, we gotta, you know, have some measured expectations for his mobility coming off the leg injury. You got to also think they're going to try to protect him a bit in that kind of sense too. So love Kyler Murray as a passer. I think for Hollywood Brown specifically, just about every week, Hollywood Brown gets two or three steps on a guy deep and Josh Dobbs throws the ball out of bounds. Kyler Murray probably gets some of those. So obviously lifts the offense, lifts the whole organization. They're a dangerous team with Kyler Murray. And, you know, we mentioned this in our waiver show on Tuesday with Josh. Kyler Murray is the guy where if you're streaming quarterbacks, I want to take him and keep him as my baseline where I play streamers as on specific matchups going forward.
And he can be the bailout for Daniel yep. Jones managers and, sure and you know, guys who took a bunch of these guys. So like Kyler Murray has never finished below quarterback 11 in his career. Last year was like a year where nobody's like, oh my gosh, Kyler Murray played so well. And he still was quarterback 7 in points per game. So I'm big on Kyler Murray. I think that there's a lot of teams out there in redraft. If they have Kyler Murray, they might have another quarterback. So you might have a trade opportunity. I'm going out and trying to get some Kyler Murray in any single format just to see if people are a little nervous about it. And I'm glad you brought up the Josh Dobbs thing, because Josh Dobbs has had multiple games of over 40 yards rushing. So it seems like the offense that Drew Petzing has been using has been an offense catered for Kyler Murray. So I'm actually really excited about this. And Hollywood Brown last year before DeAndre Hopkins came back was giving us like top 6 wide receiver production for like over a month of the season. So yeah. I'm excited about this. I think that Hollywood Brown would be a guy that I would be looking at to try to acquire that I think could be even better in the second half of the season. Why don't we focus on the second half of the season, Ryan? You know, you watch a lot of tape. Who are a couple guys, or just one guy, or a few, that you think could end up really helping us in the second half of the year that you see their trajectory sort of pointing up?
We just mentioned Pacheco and Hollywood Brown. Those are two guys that I'm big on. I think Jalin Hyatt's a sneaky guy because he's in a position where the Giants don't really have a top wide receiver by any stretch of the imagination. Darren Waller is really their top receiver. So I think he's a guy who could take on some role expansion as the season goes on, maybe get you a spike week or two late in the year. I know one matchup in particular in week 17 is Rams versus Giants. That game has a little bit of sneaky shootout potential because both secondaries are a little weak. So I like Hyatt as a dart throw. And then for quarterbacks, I'm going to go the other way on this. One thing that you just want to pay attention to is look at the Miami Dolphins schedule in the playoffs. I don't think you should trade Tua right now, but they could be they play some good defenses, and at this point, the Dolphins' defense is crushed below-average opponents, but they've kind of had middling outings against real defenses. So if that trend continues, week 11 is the game that I think you can trade them, because they play the Raiders, they probably smoke the Raiders, and then that's the time to make that decision.
Big buzzkill comment right there, Ryan, you know, to try to put some cold water on my Mike McDaniel offense, especially when they're getting my boy A-Chain back. Don't do it, Ryan. Don't do it. Let's take a couple more questions here. Ignacio Montoya, Tyler Algier, or Deonta Foreman, 0 point PPR. So this is a standard question. I got to go Foreman here. Easy.
I mean, here's the thing, Theo. Arthur Smith's the reason we're even having this conversation.
He's a sicko. He must be stopped.
I'm going Foreman too, but I do think it's more of a question than it should be.
It's Foreman. Arthur Smith, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Shout out to the Notorious JR. This is our new producer here at First Class Fantasy. You're going to see him in the chat often. Let's make another one or two teams, and then we got to kind of get you out of here. One situation that's very tilting right now is Devonta Smith. Right now, A.J. Brown is playing as well as anyone in fantasy. He could be the league winner. He's wide receiver 3 overall. If you take away those first 2 weeks of the season, he's wide receiver one overall. Devonta Smith is wide receiver 29 overall. Last year, when the season ended, A.J. Brown, wide receiver 6, Devonta Smith, wide receiver 9. So they were very close last year. Devonta Smith was the guy that was going in the second round, early third if you were lucky. And right now you're seeing a huge disparity in the usage. Is this going to even out, or is this kind of the new normal with the offensive coordinator change?
Let me give you a big answer here, Theo. Joe Banner used to run the Eagles. He hired Howie Roseman, and something that he says that the Eagles do strategically is they throw early to run late. One positive for everyone that's involved with the Eagles passing game is their schedule stretch to the rest of the year, take a look at it when you get a chance, is absolutely brutal. They're going to be in some neutral game scripts. They might even be in some negative game scripts, so I think the passing volume is going to go up. That said, A.J. Brown right now looks like Terrell Owens if Terrell Owens was less dramatic. You know, that's what's going on right now. I don't think it really evens out. I think Brown is what he is at this point, but I do think Smith's going to have a few spike games going forward, so I'd say he probably finishes still below expectations, but closer to like a solid wide receiver too long-term.
Devonta Smith or Zay Flowers?
I would still stick with Devonta Smith, but that's a very real decision.
Devonta Smith or Jordan Addison?
How long is Justin Jefferson going to be out is the question there. So I think I'm going to lean Smith.
Okay, I'll give you one more because this is a trade that I think people could get done.
Yeah.
Devonta Smith for Michael Pittman. I'm going Pittman.
I'm going to go Pittman too, actually, and I would have never thought that 2 months ago.
Yeah, and that's crazy to me that we're talking about a guy, Michael Pittman, that falls to round 8, and then you're talking about Devonta Smith, a second-round pick, and at the end of the day, if somebody sends me that trade offer, I'm accepting it. I think it's not even close at this point. Do you have time for a couple more of these questions in the chat, Ryan?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, cool. Tyler Lockett or Calvin Ridley?
I'm going to go Lockett just because he's been more consistent, but I don't feel good about that.
I don't feel good about either one of these. I'm actually going to go Calvin Ridley because every time we want to bury Calvin Ridley, he catches a touchdown. Yeah. Incredibly disappointing last week, and a game was in prime time. Now he's going to be on everybody's benches, and he's going to catch a touchdown pass. So Ridley's, it's not what we wanted, but he's not like completely dead, I don't think. Let's go Nico Collins or Chris Olave. Chris Olave for me.
Yeah, Chris Olave for me too.
And your thoughts on Olave?
I think one thing we're looking at here is, you know, two things. One, last week, I think people gave Derek Carr too hard of a time for being conservative. They were down both of their offensive tackles. The Jaguars have two guys that were taken in the top 10 that play edge, that are edge rushers, dynamic athletes. So I think that's one of the reasons there. He's also been playing through a shoulder injury. So I think some regression, especially on touchdowns, is coming for the Saints passing attack. And Olave's, you know, from a production standpoint, just like, you know, targets, yards, receptions, he's been fine.
The Saints have a very attractive schedule. Like their next three games, it's about as good as it gets. And you have Derek Carr, who's passed for 300 yards in back-to-back games. So I think this Saints offense, despite the loss to Jacksonville, is going to be fantasy-friendly the next few weeks. Okay, here we have another, a lot of Tyler Allgeier questions this week. Shout out to Anthony in the chat. Tyler Allgeier or Kenny Gainwell? This is an ugly one, Anthony.
Yeah,
you got some problems this week, my man. But I'm going to go Allgeier for this one.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. Anthony, definitely a friend of the show. Here we go. This one looks pretty easy for me. But your thoughts on Breece Hall versus the New York Giants? Pretty tough game. It could be very low scoring. Or Jahmyr Gibbs, and this is assuming no David Montgomery, versus Las Vegas this week. And this is a full PPR. And Jahmyr Gibbs last week had sort of a dream Jahmyr. Well, not a dream, but like when you drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, this is the kind of usage you were thinking you were going to get at times. 20 touches, 9 catches, runs for a touchdown, looks every bit of like the next kind of like Kamara, Eckler, McCaffrey type usage. First, Breece Hall, who, you know, I'm calling the league winner. So I got to stick to my guns. It's Breece Hall no matter what, if this is head-to-head. And that's a champagne problem to be able to choose between these two on your team. Ryan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to go Breece Hall too, because, you know, like you said about last week, the Lions were in a negative gain script like in the first quarter, essentially. So a dream spot for Jahmyr Gibbs, where I think they're going to throttle the Raiders. So I think that those, you know, I don't think 10 targets are coming this week for Jahmyr Gibbs.
There you go. But let's take this one. This was a fun one. Cincinnati Bengals question. Jack Riley, who seems to be some sort of a stacker the way he builds his teams, because his flex question is Joe Mixon or T. Higgins in the flex. And this is I believe this is 0.5 PPR. So Joe Mixon volume, T. Higgins has been extremely disappointing. He has the one really big game against Baltimore. Your thoughts on this one?
I think this one depends on matchup against your fantasy opponent this week. If you think it's going to be close and you have an edge, I play Mixon because he's safer. But if I'm playing from behind, if you can get the 49ers in one area, it's on their perimeter with you know, athletic wide receivers like the Bengals have. So I think Higgins has an interesting ceiling. And as long as the Bengals offensive line can hold up a little bit against the 49ers pass rush, I think Joe Burrow can do some damage this week.
Here's a fun one. And I actually talked about this on my waiver wire show, because I had both of these guys as strong ads. They were both available in a ton of Yahoo leagues. But Michael Mayer or Trey McBride, second round pick this past draft, second round pick in the year before. McBride now has a big opportunity. He's outproduced Zach Ertz back-to-back weeks. Now Zach Ertz is sent to the IR. Mayer, we talked about, has had the 5 catches for 75 yards 2 weeks ago. Now potential quarterback issues. I'm going to go Trey McBride here based on the usage and the fact that I think that this Arizona Cardinals offense is trending up with Kyler Murray. Where would you be on this one?
Mayer has the better matchup. The Lions actually struggle against tight ends a little bit, but, you know, McBride's usage, playing from behind against the Ravens defense, it's real stingy. And, you know, a tight end can be a bad quarterback's best friend. So I'm going to go McBride too.
Yeah. I'm excited for my McBride shares. And it's been a guy that's been like, you know, I drafted him a bunch of dynasty places, completely invisible as a rookie. Then old man Zach Ertz on like multiple injuries, 33-year-old Zach Ertz, like completely relegates him. Now it's like the comeback season. So the lesson learned is in dynasty, Ryan, never ever take an L. You just have to wait. Let's take this one. This is Dylan Gibson, DeAndre Hopkins versus Atlanta, or an absolute disrespect from Dylan to refer to Tank Dell as Lil Tank, calls him Lil Tank versus Carolina. So where are you at on this one? DeAndre Hopkins versus the Atlanta Falcons, Tank Dell, not Lil Tank Dell, versus the Carolina Panthers.
Backup quarterbacks like Will Levis tend to get tunnel vision on wide receiver ones. DeAndre Hopkins is a wide receiver one, and I'm going to stick with the expected volume in that scenario.
Tunnel vision is the operative word there. You got to go D-hops this week. Also, you could see DeAndre Hopkins, like all of these Titans could get moved at the trade deadline. Yeah. So maybe a few extra targets go to DeAndre Hopkins. I actually have a theory that if you see a very minimal usage Derrick Henry week, then he's getting traded. They don't want to ruin the trade with like potentially him getting banged up. So if you see a Spears-Henry split, then I think he's getting moved. Where do you put any legs to the Derrick Henry getting traded rumors out there, Ryan, or do you think it doesn't happen?
They should have a fire sale. I mean, once you trade Byard, your secondary is already terrible. You trade your best player in your secondary. It's a bit of a white flag on the season. I'd trade Henry. I'd trade Hopkins if I could, absolutely.
How good would Derrick Henry be if he goes to the Baltimore Ravens, which is the rumored destination? I mean, that is exciting. Put him right next to Lamar Jackson. I mean, we've seen him next to a Ryan Tannehill type scrambler, but not next to a guy who can just rip off a 50-yarder like Lamar Jackson. How would you look at Derek the rest of the season? A significant bump up or about the same based on potentially less volume?
I'd say definitely a bump up because, you know, Lamar Jackson's like having an extra player in offense, especially when you're trying to stop the run, and a guy like Henry paired next to him on zone reads and stuff like that. It's just, I want to see it as a football fan. And, you know, plus the Ravens have a top 10 offensive line. So definitely a bump up for me. That said, the big dog is not quite what he used to be.
No, he's definitely not. But I do think, short term and actually potentially like a dynasty, I think this could be a bump up. I mean, you think about, they're obviously very different, but you think about that season that Mark Ingram had next to Lamar Jackson, like Lamar does some things. And just that offense seems to be kind of trending up. It's like the Pittsburgh game kind of woke them up. Shout out to Joanna Jackson in the chat. Jacoby Myers or Sam Laporta, and this is 1.5 point tight end premium. I'm going Laporta, the greatest tight end we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And in 1.5 point PPR, I can never, ever bench Sam Laporta. Where are you at, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go to Laporta. Plus, like, I think Detroit's going to slaughter the Raiders. So if they score four or five offensive touchdowns, I want shares this week.
So, Ryan, why don't you let everybody know where they can find your work? Maybe talk a little bit about, you know, the gambling content as well as the fantasy.
You can find me at Ryan Reynolds NFL on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. On Monday, I write a Survivor Pool preview. We finalize later in the week when injury reports are in the books. On Tuesday, Josh Lark and I have a waiver wire show. We do a game preview show on Mondays. My big piece is Expert Picks that comes out on Thursday mornings. I write a paragraph or two, you know, summing up every game, what each team needs to win with a score prediction. Then I finalize plays in winner pools, Survivor again, any ATS leans I have later in the week in my betting previews.
No, it's very cool. I mean, Ryan, you're as sharp as it gets. And all of Ryan's work at the 33rd team is available for free. Josh Larkey's work is available for free. Highly recommend those guys, both big friends of the show and of Player Profiler. We're going to continue our series with the 33rd team. Definitely go out and check out. You can wait and see it right here on Player Profiler YouTube. It'll be up probably tomorrow, but we're going to be loading in these shows that streamed on 33rd team. It was Josh, Ryan, and I discussing all first and second year quarterbacks. You're going to see the Podfather, Matt Kelly, on 33rd team soon. I believe Matt is discussing running backs. And then you're going to see two more of those over at the 33rd team. And then here, right here on Player Profiler, you saw Ryan here today. The show was fire. The chat was lit. And then you're going to see Josh Larkey coming on the game plan this Saturday with Maddie Kiwoom. The game plan should be on around, give or take, around 11 or 12 noon on Saturday East Coast time. So definitely check those out. We're going to be doing this for a month. And then we have a very, very cool finale, which we're going to do. And we have a pretty cool announcements for that one. That'll be sometime in November. So look for a lot more of these 33rd team and Player Profiler crossover episodes throughout the next month. Ryan, you crushed it today. Everybody in the chat, you guys were great. Everybody have a fantastic rest of your day. And let's get some wins this week. Stick with us here at Player Profiler. I have Andrew Erickson of Fantasy Pros coming on press coverage tomorrow. So if you enjoyed this time of day, it's going to be a little bit earlier in the morning. That should be right around 11 a.m. Friday, East Coast time. Andrew Erickson. You saw Andrew Erickson on First Class Fantasy this summer. He was great. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And everybody, let's just crush it. It's week eight. Time to win some money. Time to win some championships. Let's go.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.